Good morning, everybody. Music team, you might as well make your way up. Really good to see you. Everyone okay? Yeah, good. It's a bit of a dreary old day, isn't it? But it's lovely to see you. And we're going to sing in a moment a song about finding strength in the Lord. So I want to read a verse from the Bible where this song really comes from Isaiah 40, verse 31. This may even be something that maybe one or two of you might need to hear this morning. It might be of comfort to you. And it says this, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." What wonderful words for us this morning. Let's rejoice in those words and let's sing together. Strength will rise. Great start. Let's just pray into that. Father, Lord, we all come here this morning, Father, with different emotions and feelings and stuff going on in our lives, Lord, and that's just a wonderful promise for us to start with, Lord, that you are the defender of the weak, Lord. You don't grow weary in your love and your presence, Father. You just remain there, Lord, always as the rock, as our refuge, as our strength, as our help. Lord, I pray that you will help us this morning and you will bring comfort to us this morning, Lord, if that's what we need, and you will give us strength, Lord, if we are feeling weak. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, now I want to speak a little bit particularly to the children. And of course, any good children's talk involves sweets and a game, doesn't it? Yeah? I'm kind of feeling like every time I do a children's talk now, there's sweets involved. So I apologise to parents if you're trying to wean your children off sweets. But what we need is two volunteers this morning. And I hope when we play this game, we're going to learn something very important. Okay? Now, I don't choose the same people all the time. Who haven't I chose? That's it, Jane, help me out. Who are you pointing to? You want to play, dear?
No.
You can't read Ted. Yep, Ted. Come on, Ted. Well done, Ted. Okay, who else? Who else? Who else? Yes, you come to Epic, don't you? I've forgotten your name.
Harry.
Harry, that's it. Come on, Harry. And you've been to Holiday Club. You're a proper church regular now, aren't you? Okay. Right, now, one of you is going to have to be blindfolded in this game, okay? All right? Now, are you happy? Who's happy to be blindfolded? Yeah? Okay, Harry, I think we're going to blindfold you, okay? Right? Here's what's going to happen. I think you need to start over here, okay? So come over here. And Ted, you can come as well. Let's start you off in line. Now, what you're going to do is nice and safe, okay? Right, I'm going to blindfold you, Harry, okay? No peeking. Right, now, Harry, the object of this game... Right, can't see, can you? No. Good. Right, the object of this game, Harry, is you're going to walk out of this little bit, through these doors at the end there, which you can't see, around, through the next door, back up, and you're going to pick up the packet of sweets on the chair. If you manage to do that, you get to keep the sweets, okay? Now, what you're going to do, Ted, is you're going to tell Harry where to walk. You're going to listen to Ted, Harry, okay? All right? And you're going to see if you can guide him out of that door, through the next door, and to the sweets. Do you think you can do that? Yeah? Go for it. Go on, talk to him. That's it. You don't want him walking into anything, do you? Because I don't want to be responsible for any. That's it. Guide him, Ted. This is going well. That's it. Come on, tell him what to do.
The other way.
Turn, that's it.
Yep, keep sides.
Brilliant. This is going much better than I thought. Turn that way. The way I tap you, stop. That's it.
Forward.
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 It's going to take
stop.
Ages.
Turn round. Forward.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Richard. Yeah. Forward, that's it. Big steps. Take him through there.
Stop. Turn. Bit.
You might have to tap him which way you want him to turn, that's it. Okay.
Forward.
That's it. You're not going to hurt anyone. Don't worry. You might bump into the odd shoe. Doesn't matter. Keep turning him, Ted.
Forward.
He's got to hear your voice.
Forward.
Keep going, Harry. It's only a leg. Keep turning him, Ted. Keep walking forward. Come on, Ted. You're supposed to be telling him what to do, mate. Okay. Stop. Tell him to turn that way.
Turn that way.
That's it. That's a baby. That's a child. Keep walking forward. It's in a straight line. You're doing a good job. Keep talking to him, Ted. Tell him to steer a bit.
Turn that way a bit.
When you say that way, he doesn't know because he's blindfolded, you see. This is going to be the best bit. You might want to warn him that there's some steps. Yeah.
A bit more than step up high.
Good. Very good, Ted. Can you hear it? Come on, direct him.
Turn.
Okay, just take the blindfold off, I think. Okay, take the blindfold off. You're there, Harry. You can take the sweets. Well done. Well done, Ted. Well done, both of you. Go and sit down, that's it. Excellent job. I mean, that was hard, wasn't it? That was hard. All other children, you're allowed to come and find me afterwards and I'll give you a packet of sweets, okay? If your mum and dad let you. Okay, right. That was hard, but you did it. Well done. And the point of that is to show you something. Now, how did Harry manage to get those sweets? What was happening that made him get the sweets? Yeah. Ted was telling him the way, wasn't he? Yeah, Ted was speaking to him. Now, it was Ted's words, if you like, yeah? Ted's words that were speaking to Harry to guide him. And actually, the Bible, I've got in my hand, this is the children's Bible, another name for the Bible is God's Word. God's Word, God's voice to us. And God's Word, it guides us. Did you know that? Just like Ted's voice was guiding Harry, God's word guides us. But God doesn't guide us to sweets, I'm afraid. God's word guides us to something even better, himself. God's word, the Bible, tells us about God and it tells us how we can know Jesus and how we can have a happy life that pleases God. So there's a good question for us to ask ourselves this morning, in fact for us all to ask ourselves, which is, who do you listen to most to guide you in life? And do you think listening to God's word, reading God's word, is important? Let's read this verse together from Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It guides us, yeah? That's a really important thing to remember today. I hope you find it helpful. Right, music team, please come up again. And let's rejoice together, because God is good. We'll sing "Blessed Be Your Name."
Blessed be your name, in a land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, when I'm pounding the desert place, I'll walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Blessed be your name, the sun shining down on me, when the world's broad as it should be. Blessed be your name. every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. The name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious
name. Okay, going to invite Mark up just to lead us in prayer now. And then Mark, when you finish praying, Jan, I've lost you there, Jan. Jan will come and read for us. Thank you, Mark.
There's a lot to be praying for, so please let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, just thank you for today, dear Lord. Thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for Frestingfield Baptist Chapel and congregation, young and old, dear Lord. We just thank you that we can meet here and just know that you're with us. We thank you for the Frestingfield surrounding villages and local community, St. Peter's and St. Paul's and local churches at Laxfield, Horan and Stradbroke. We thank you for Friday Fun Time, the Lighthouse, Click, Epic, and all those leaders and helpers, dear Lord. We just thank you for their patience and energy, wisdom and understanding, and we just thank you that those youngsters and those young people are coming to know you through their work, dear Lord. We thank you for Paul and Jane and Adrian and Stuart, Andrew and Stuart, and just the deacons and the work of the church, dear Lord, here. We pray for the missionary work around the world. We pray for Caring for Life, Tear Fund, Open Doors. We pray for the up-and-coming Sizewell weekend, dear Lord, which we always cherish because we just come together as a congregation and members, dear Lord. We thank you for the charity work and Tear Fund and the quiz. And we also pray for the NHS and care workers, dear Lord, the immense work that they do. We lift up our brothers and sisters around the world, dear Lord. We just think of the persecuted church, people that are prepared and suffer for their faith and the love of you, dear Lord. And we just ask for forgiveness for us, but not actually maybe being that as committed as they are, dear Lord. But we just ask you to lead us down the narrow path of righteousness, dear Lord. Please be with us each and every day. As we remember Remembrance Sunday, dear Lord, we think of the veterans, the army, the soldiers, the navy and the air force, people that have been killed and injured. But please, dear Lord, be with them at this time. Dear Lord, we pray for King Charles and the royal family. We thank you for Queen Elizabeth and her wonderful reign. And we just, yeah, thank you. Dear Lord, we pray for our new Prime Minister and government. We pray for the Christians in the Houses of Parliament. We also think of so many people, dear Lord, that are struggling at this time with anxiety, money worries, family breakdowns and mental health. Just please be with them, dear Lord. Just please bless them. May they know that your goodness can be shared and they could come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. We thank you for the food banks and helpers, dear Lord. Please help us to be good witnesses to others, generous with our time and money. Thank you, Lord, for taking us out of the darkness and bringing us into the light. We thank you that we can trust you and you answer our prayers each and every day, even though we do not deserve it. Most of all, dear Lord, we thank you for Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Please hear our prayers and we give you great praise and honour. And in your precious name we pray. Amen.
The reading this morning is Philippians 2, verses 12 to 18. I'm just checking the volume because my ears are blocked. And so, is that okay? Can you hear me okay? Yeah. Do everything without grumbling. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I didn't run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me.
Okay, right, we are, I mean, I don't mind if they make noise, that's fine. we're in our series in Philippians, aren't we? Philippians chapter 2, and this is, we're not going to be able to go through everything in this passage this morning. We could do with like 3 weeks on this, really, like we could have done with 3 weeks on the first 11 verses. But nonetheless, hopefully there's something helpful in here for us today. I want to go back to when I was 21 years old. When I was 21 years old, I became a manager of a high street store, high street electrical store. And I'd done 10 months as a trainee manager, and I'd completed, you know, the bronze, silver and gold sales challenges. And I'd done 3 months on the company's management training scheme. And my area manager had been really good. He'd invested a lot of time in me and he'd given me every opportunity possible to be ready to become a store manager. And one day he phoned me and said, a store's going to come available. I want you to apply for the job. And I got the job and I was a manager. Finally, I was a store manager. But I couldn't just rest there, could I? The hard work was beginning, if you like. But the inspiration for my work that I was about to do was all the training that I had received. I couldn't do the job without the training, and I couldn't do the job unless I applied the training. And all the area manager said to me as I began, very nervously and sheepishly, was just put into practice all you have learnt and all you have experienced. It's all about how you, Paul, handle the knowledge and training that you have been given. That's kind of where we are in Philippians at this point, in verse 12 and onwards. Paul has up till now reminded this church in Philippi that they have been saved because of Jesus. They will stay saved because of Jesus, and one day they will live with Jesus. And because of this, this should unite them as a community, and Jesus should be the center and focus point. And all this, says Paul, requires a response from them in their lives. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 27, he says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So we are no different as Christians, as followers of Jesus. We have the salvation of Christ, if you like. We have the present peace of Christ. We have the future hope of Christ. And it's all because of Christ. So we are joined and we are united by Christ. And so now the Philippian church are starting out, if you like myself starting out as a new manager. They have everything they need to shine like stars in the sky for Christ. As Paul says in the end of verse 15, he says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. They now just need to go and live it. Go and live knowing that Jesus is Lord. Do you want to live a life worthy of the gospel, worthy of the Saviour that we love? Do you want to shine like stars in the sky in the middle of a dark world? If you do, how are we going to do that? Because they're big words, aren't they? They're big phrases, they're big challenges. How are we going to do that? Well, I want to kind of offer three ways we can do that. The first way we're going to do that is we're going to rejoice. We're going to rejoice. Now, let's just go back to verses 9 to 11. We missed these verses out last week, and it really would be criminal to overlook them again because they're so important to what Paul's saying. I'm just going to read them out. This is Paul talking about Jesus, saying, look, he came as a man. He humbled himself, and he died on a cross for our sins to make us right with God. He rose again to beat death so that we can have life forever. And because he did that, Paul then says in verse 9 to 11, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, what Paul is saying to this little church, this tiny little church in Philippi, and to us, is however hard it is to imitate Christ, however difficult it is to follow him in a world that has disowned him, however small and insignificant we feel, even if we feel like we're not making any impact, there is one overriding fact that is both sensational and glorious. Jesus is Lord. That's what he's saying. And to this church in first century that was in Philippi, a little colony of Rome that had been sort of authenticated and approved by Caesar, he's saying to them, look, Caesar might feel like Lord, but he isn't. Everyone worships Caesar. Everyone sacrifices in the temple to Caesar. Everyone gives money to Caesar. Caesar's head's on the coins. It feels like it's all about Caesar. But you need to know that his time will pass away and Jesus' time will never pass away. In fact, he will be the apex of the universe. One day every knee will bow. Jesus is Lord. And that's the same for us. However rough the world feels, however powerful it feels that the powers that be, the structures of our world, whatever, oppress us, dominate us, we need to remember and have hope and rejoice that Jesus is Lord. And Paul says this, we know Jesus is Lord because one day every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Now, that's quite a sobering thought. That's quite a challenging thought. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. The same tongue that might laugh at Jesus right now, that might mock Jesus, that disbelieves Jesus, will one day confess when Jesus comes. Jesus is coming again. Did you know that? And he's bringing a new heaven, a new earth. Sin will be no more. Death will be no more. We will be with God forever in his presence. Jesus will come and establish his kingdom for those who trust and follow him now. One day when we see him again, we will confess him. He is Lord. Then Paul says, actually, when he comes again, every knee will bow. And that's challenging because the same body, if you like, that will not surrender itself to Jesus now will one day bow in awe and worship at the sight of Jesus. And Paul says that God will exalt Jesus to the highest place. Now, sometimes Jesus doesn't feel very exalted and very powerful, does he, at the moment? But the things and people that we put as our priority will actually one day be superseded and replaced by Jesus, because he is Lord. So if we want to shine like stars, we need to be a people that rejoice because we know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, because the gospel is sensational. The gospel is sensational. That should make us rejoice. Paul touches on this rejoicing. At the end of verse 17, he says, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. What does that rejoicing look like? What does that mean? It's a word we often use in church. It's kind of like Christianese, isn't it? It's a very Christian word. Rejoicing is about being satisfied. So satisfied that it makes us happy and glad. Let's strip that back, if you like, to the basics of what faith in God means. Whatever is going on in you at the moment, there is one undeniable fact. There is one unrelenting truth that should inspire us and change us. And that is Jesus Christ came into this world to die for your sins and my sins. Even the most ugliest and grotesque of our sins and our secret thoughts and actions, he died for them, and he did it because he loves you and me and he wants to join us back to God. There is no greater level of satisfaction than that. Are you satisfied and rejoicing because you know the joy of your sins being forgiven? And we can rejoice as God's people, as Christians. Because of Jesus, it means we're not defeated, doesn't it? It means we're not rejected. It means actually, ultimately, we're not sad. We're not confused. We're not fearful about this world because we know Jesus and we know that Jesus is Lord. This is our foundation. This is our only real source of joy and comfort. This is our only hope for ourselves and our world. Any other foundation that we try and build our lives on, however good it might seem, is a shaky foundation that will crumble. So we can rejoice this morning because Jesus is Lord, and that is how we will shine like stars. Then, secondly, to shine like stars, we need commitment to Christ. Let's read verses 12 and 13. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, he's just saying, look, you're genuine, you're not just obeying Christ because I told you to, you're doing it when I'm not there. But now, much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Now, the big word here is therefore, at the beginning of verse 12. Because what Paul is saying is, because Jesus is Lord, how will we live as a community of Christ? If Jesus is Lord, how will this influence our lives? And so Paul says, we need to work out our salvation, what that means. And the Greek word, because don't forget, this was originally written in Greek, the Greek word for work out means to produce, bring about, or cultivate. So the question that Paul really is posing is, now you know what you know as a Christian, how does that change your life? How does that change your thinking? How does that change your decisions? How is knowing that Jesus is your Lord and your Saviour going to work itself out in your life? What is going to be produced and cultivated in your life because you know Jesus? More specifically, how is knowing Jesus going to affect your marriage? How is it going to affect your family life, your friendships, your career, your time, your energy, your priorities and your goals in life? And that's a serious question. That's a really serious question because Paul says here, it needs to be done with fear and trembling. So this is not about where can we fit Jesus into our schedule. It's about how can we serve him? How can we love him? How can we honor him with our whole life? That means sometimes it will cost us something. But the great thing, Paul says, is if you start to work it out in the right way, you will shine like stars in the sky for Christ. Now, we haven't got time to go into why he says stars in the sky, but basically the Roman community, first century and even two or 300 years before, were really responsible for establishing the calendar, our calendar that we use, or is it the Julian calendar? The 12-month calendar, and obviously they believed in, you know, the Roman God. So the stars were a real sort of orientation for people's life. So as you and I work that out in our life, the questions that we can ask ourselves are this. What does God want you to put down and stop doing? And what does he want you to pick up and start doing? And as you think about that, notice the amazing words that follow fear and trembling. It says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. As a Christian, as someone who trusts in the death and resurrection of Jesus, God is using every moment of your life, every success or failure that you encounter, to make you like Jesus. So the best option for us is to surrender to him. And then lastly, to shine like stars, we need to be faithful. Of all the things that Paul says, why does he pick on this? Look at verse 14. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Do you know the amount of times my dad used to quote this to me when I didn't want to do something when I was younger? Do everything without complaining, son. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Yeah, okay, I'll do the wiping up then. You know, yeah, the amount of times that was said to me. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. You see, the first two points, if you like, that I've covered, are about our relationship with Jesus. And it's like Paul kind of knee-jerks here into something else. He points us now in how we relate, not just to each other, but how we relate to the world around us. Because we're going to shine like stars. And Paul says, for us to be effective witnesses for Jesus, for us to stand firm for God, we need to stop grumbling and arguing. We won't go too much into arguing, except that arguing is terminal for the church because it undermines our triangular unity. And all I'm going to say about that is, listen to last week's message and you'll know what I mean by triangular unity. I hope you'll find it helpful. But grumbling is something that no one needs to be taught, is it? We are experts at it, aren't we? Yeah, we're experts. And sometimes we're happier when we're grumbling, aren't we? Yeah? But if we want to shine like stars for Christ, if we want to represent the beauty of Jesus, the joy of knowing him, the joy of what he's done for us, then we need to stop grumbling. Why does Paul mention of all the things grumbling? He could talk about anything, couldn't he? Well, there is no doubt, absolutely no doubt, in Paul's mind, he is thinking about some of the stories from the Old Testament of the Israelites complaining and grumbling about their situation. complaining even after God had miraculously delivered them from the Egyptians across the Red Sea and then leading them to the Promised Land. And he's saying, look, we're no different than the moaning, ungrateful Israelites if we continually observe our world with wagging fingers and tutting lips. If we complain about our situation and our lot in life. Because when we moan, actually all we're doing is questioning God's sovereignty and rejecting the truth that he has given us. Because we believe that God is good, don't we? And we believe that God is good all the time. And grumbling just declares a God that can only be good some of the time. But it's a bit deeper than that. Because it's a lack of faith that is the root cause of grumbling about this world and about our life. Now, you might grumble about the state of our society, if you like. And I've noticed as you get older, even though I'm only 46, I do that much more than I did when I was 19, yeah? So we might grumble about the state of our society, but you know, faith doesn't dig its heels in and resist the changes in culture and society that we experience. Faith doesn't do that. Faith stands in positivity and hope, knowing that a good and sovereign God is in control. You might grumble by speaking negatively and say, you know, our society is going down the pan. The youth of today, they're going down the pan. No. Sorry, young people. Yeah? Faith doesn't do that. Faith triumphs and rises above the doom mongers and the naysayers because faith says that one day the gospel of this good God will reach all peoples and our world will be transformed. I could be really sort of naughty and totally summarize what Paul is saying and say this. If you want to shine like stars for Christ, then complaining will not win over a culture for Christ. So as we close, four things to think about grumbling. Everyone is grumbling, and it's the one who doesn't who will stand out. If we complain and moan, we won't stand out and shine in this generation for Christ. And you cannot joyfully proclaim the gospel if all you do is complain about your mission field. And we shouldn't complain about how much better the past was than the present, because we can't be faithful in the present if we still want to be in the past, can we? And the only period of time we should long for is the future kingdom of God when it is established on earth as it is in heaven. And so this morning, when we think about our wonderful Saviour Jesus, he's calling us to rejoice because he's Lord. He's calling us to surrender to him because he is Lord. And he's calling us to remember that he is always good because he is Lord and he is sovereign. Then we will shine in a way that we could never dreamed of shining before. Okay. Well, let's think, pray about that. But let's sing before we do. Come up, team. Let's sing, Yet Not I. It's a song that causes us to lay it all on Christ, trust in Christ.
My Redeemer, there is no Divine, I can see all is mine, yeah.
let's just close our eyes as we finish. Sometimes it's not easy to stand up here and say these things, but I believe that there's some serious business that needs to be done with the Lord this morning. Maybe for some of you, Jesus isn't Lord. I just want you to know that one day every knee will bow, but then if you haven't trusted in what Christ has done now for you, paid for your sins, then it will be too late. And so I invite you to come to Jesus today and accept what he's done for you. And for others of you, you need to come back to Christ. And it needs to be done now. And there needs to be surrender. And so, Father, I pray for every one of us, Lord, that we will know the love of Christ in our hearts. And however difficult, Lord, we will be pleased and happy today to trust you with all of our life, Lord. And you have promised, Lord, to help us if we do that. You have promised to be with us, because we can say that it's not I, it's Christ in us. We give ourselves to you this morning, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.